today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
Here is the message from heaven to earth on that first Christmas evening, that the one who was going to be born and is born in Bethlehem is none other than the Savior of the world. How fitting then that he's given this name, Jesus, Savior.
Welcome to The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe. This daily program is a media ministry of Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. Have you done any research on your family tree? You might be interested in learning about your heritage and your ancestors. Today, we're continuing our focus on Christmas with a look at the family tree of Jesus. You might be surprised at what we find. Let's join Pastor John Monroe with his message, The Tree.
Have you done any research as to your family tree, your genealogy? Many people get DNA tests to establish what countries, what ethnicities they're from. Often people excitedly tell me that they have some Scottish DNA. I tell them all of my ancestors on both sides are Scottish. Does it surprise you to know that the New Testament begins with a family tree? At the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew, we learn of the ancestors of Jesus. Particularly in the Jewish context, our ancestors are very important. Certainly they are for someone who is the Messiah, the Christ. So, today as we prepare for Christmas, we're going to look at the family tree of Jesus, and it's a fascinating tree.
Well, I know that many of you are interested in your genealogies, your family tree. Where did your ancestors come from? What kind of people were they? When did they first come to the United States? And it's very popular now for people to try and trace their origin. Some of you have done that. Some of you get very excited and come and tell me that your great-great-great-great-grandmother was Scottish, as if that would impress me. All of my grandmothers are Scottish, and grandfathers. So there it is. But our family tree, our genealogy, does give us a sense of identity, doesn't it? A sense of belonging, a sense of who we are. And so today I want to talk about a tree, not a Christmas tree, but a family tree. And as we begin this new series in the Gospel of Matthew, we're going to read about a tree. Now, this is the first gospel in the New Testament as mentioned first. It may be the earliest, that is disputed by the scholars. But for Matthew to begin his magnificent gospel with a genealogy, with a family tree, might not seem very exciting to you. I don't know what your reaction is when you heard that we're going to talk about a genealogy. But Matthew wants us to understand who Jesus is, because his gospel is all about Jesus Christ. So I ask you to open your Bible to Matthew chapter 1. I'm going to read the first 17 verses of Matthew chapter 1. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, and Judah the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar, and Perez the father of Hezron, and Hezron the father of Ram. Verse 4, and Ram, the father of Amminadab, and Amminadab, the father of Nashon, and Nashon, the father of Salmon, and Salmon, the father of Boaz, by Rahab, and Boaz, the father of Obed, by Ruth, and Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of David, the king. Notice David's description. Verse 6, David, the king. Israel's greatest king. And David was the father of Solomon by the wife of Uriah. And Solomon, the father of Rehoboam, and Rehoboam, the father of Abijah, and Abijah, the father of Asaph, and Asaph, the father of Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat, the father of Joram, and Joram, the father of Uzziah, and Uzziah, the father of Jotham, and Jotham, the father of Ahaz, and Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah. And Hezekiah, the father of Manasseh, and Manasseh, the father of Amos, and Amos, the father of Josiah, and Josiah, the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the deportation to Babylon. Verse 12, and after the deportation to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel, and Shealtiel the father of Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel the father of Abiud, and Abiud the father of Eliakim, and Eliakim the father of Azor, and Azor the father of Zadok, and Zadok the father of Akim, and Akim the father of Elihud, and Elihud the father of Eleazar, and Eleazar the father of Matthan, and Matthan the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David were 14 generations, and from David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations, and from the deportation to Babylon to the Christ, 14 generations. Now, if you look at verse 17, you'll see that there are three divisions of the genealogy, each of them comprising 14 generations. But the central person of the family tree is clearly Jesus. Look at verse 1, the book of the genealogy of Jesus. Now, Matthew begins his genealogy in verse 2 with Abraham. He begins with Abraham and moves forward to Jesus, as we see in verse 16. Now, Matthew, one of his great themes is to present Jesus as the King. And Matthew is going to tell us a lot about the kingdom of heaven, that Jesus is presented as the King, and therefore it's very important to know, is this one, Jesus, the King, is he truly in the line of David, the kingly tribe? And we're going to see, of course, that he is. From beginning to end, Matthew is presenting the magnificent person, the unique person of Jesus, the King. It's all about Jesus. Now, you noticed in verse 16 that Matthew has traced the genealogy of Jesus through Joseph. And he does that to establish the legal right of Jesus to the throne of David. He also mentions David's son, Solomon. So he says here in verse 16, and Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom, feminine pronoun, of whom Jesus was born, who is called Christ. A couple of weeks, we're going to see that Jesus, in fact, is conceived of the Holy Spirit, that Mary is his mother, but Joseph is not his father in a physical sense. In a legal sense, yes, but not in a physical sense. And so he begins the book of the genealogy, verse 1, of Jesus. What a beginning. In Hebrew, Jesus is Yeshua, the Lord saves. In Greek, as we know it, it is Jesus. The angel is going to say to Joseph in verse 21, as Joseph wonders how it is that his fiancée is pregnant and he's not had sex with her, how can this be? And the angel is going to say to Joseph, you shall call his name Jesus. Why Jesus? Of all the names. You'll call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And throughout Matthew's gospel, he's going to tell us the profound teaching of Jesus. He's going to refer to the spectacular miracles of Jesus. But the climax is the death, burial, and resurrection and ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus, you ask? First of all, Matthew is telling us he is the Savior. The book of the genealogy of Jesus. That's what the name Jesus means. That's the personal name given to Jesus. Not that the disciples ever called Jesus Jesus. In their narrative, they refer to Jesus, but they would call him Lord, Rabbi, teacher. But his personal name is Jesus. What does it mean? It means Savior. Because this is the central mission of Jesus. Remember the word of the angel to the shepherds in Luke chapter 2? For unto you is born this day in the city of David. What? A Savior who is Christ the Lord. Here is the message from heaven to earth on that first Christmas evening, that the one who was going to be born and is born in Bethlehem is none other than the Savior of the world. How fitting then that he's given this name, Jesus, Savior. And he is then the central character of the gospel. Not only the central character of Matthew's gospel, Jesus is the central person of human history and of all of eternity. We determine human history, whether something happened BC before Christ or AD after Christ. Central in human history, central for all of eternity, this is Jesus. But notice further, Matthew 1 verse 1, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Now we often use Christ as another name for Jesus. We refer to Christ or Christ Jesus or Jesus Christ. But the word Christ is in fact not so much a name as a title. In the Old Testament, it is Messiah, the Hebrew word Messiah. In Greek, it is Christ. It's the same thing. What does the Messiah mean? What does this word Christ mean? It means the anointed one. That Jesus, in fact, is God's anointed one. He is the Messiah. In the Old Testament, prophets, priests, and kings were anointed. They were set apart for their special tasks, filled with the Holy Spirit. But Matthew is making it very clear that the long-promised Messiah of the Old Testament has now come, and has come in the person of Jesus. Who is Jesus? He's the Savior. Yes, but he's also the Anointed One. He is the Christ. He's anointed as prophet because he comes to declare the truth of God. He's anointed as priest because he comes to offer himself as a sacrifice to God. He's anointed as king as he comes to conquer sin and darkness and reign supremely and eternally, not only as king of the Jews, but as king of kings and lord of lords. That is, in Jesus the Christ, all of the expectation in the Old Testament, all of the prophecies, all of the types and shadows find their perfect fulfillment in Jesus the Christ. And Matthew, throughout his gospel, is going to quote from the Old Testament, is going to allude to the Old Testament to establish that this one called Jesus is none other than the Christ, the Messiah. But furthermore, says Matthew, again, verse 1, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David. If you're familiar with the Gospels, you know that during the life of our Lord, some of the people would shout after Jesus and say, the son of David. He's the Savior. He's the anointed one. Yes, but he's the son of David. You say, is that important? Of course it is. It's critical. Jesus as the son of David is of the royal line. He has a legal right to the throne of David. He also comes, did you notice in verse 2? He also comes from the kingly tribe of Judah. 12 tribes in Israel. Reuben was the eldest son, but he's not the kingly tribe. Judah is the kingly tribe. And Matthew tells us in verse 2, in the genealogy, that Jacob is the father of Judah and his brothers. He comes from the kingly tribe. But furthermore, God had promised to David, in what we call the Davidic covenant, had promised David that David's kingdom would endure forever. It would be an everlasting kingdom. Turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 7, and we'll read a little bit of this Davidic covenant, this prophecy,
which again is going to find its fulfillment in our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Samuel 7, verse 12. And the Lord is speaking to King David. As I say, he was Israel's greatest king. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, i.e. when you die, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Verse 16, and your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. Here there is a prophecy then that the ancestors of David, that there is going to be this everlasting kingdom, that there will be this throne for this king, a king who's never going to die and who's going to reign forever. David, as he wrote Psalm 110, had prophesied of the Lord sending forth from Zion, from Jerusalem, a mighty scepter. The scepter, of course, is the symbol of his kingship and ruling in the midst of their enemies. And so the Messiah, as king, finds its fulfillment in Jesus. He is Jesus Christ, the Son of David. Turn to Luke chapter 1 and read of what the angel says to young Mary as she's told that she is going to conceive and bear a son, and you'll call his name Jesus. Luke chapter 1, verse 32. Gabriel, the angel, to Mary. He, that is Jesus, will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, that is the Son of God. And the Lord God will give to him, listen to this, the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Matthew is telling us that this one who is born as the Savior, this one who is born as the Messiah, is the Son of David. So there is given to Jesus this mighty, mighty privilege by God that is given to him, this kingdom, and of this kingdom there will be no end. Turn also to John chapter 7 to see an interesting couple of verses in this connection where the people are looking at Jesus and wondering who he is. Is he just a prophet? Who is he? Could he really be the Messiah? John chapter 7, verse 40. When they heard these words, some of the people said, "This really is the prophet." Others said, "This is the Christ, the Messiah." But some said, "Is the Christ to come from Galilee? Has not the scripture said that when the Christ comes from the offspring of David and comes from Bethlehem, the village where David was?" They're saying, well, we're not quite sure actually, because the Old Testament scripture said that the Messiah was going to be the son of David, and he was going to come from David's town, and this one comes from Galilee. Of course, you will remember that our Lord Jesus was born not in Galilee, he was born in Bethlehem, which is the hometown of David, hence it's sometimes called in the city of David. And our Lord Jesus Christ, although he was born in Bethlehem, we will see in our study of Matthew that after the time in Egypt, as they flee there to escape Herod, Joseph leads his family back to his hometown of Nazareth in Galilee. But the point is, here in John chapter 8, verse 42, they're saying the scripture says that Christ comes from the offspring of David. You're right. Jesus is in the legal line to the throne of David. Jesus is the Son of David. Jesus is the
King. He's the Savior. He's the Christ. He's the Son of David. Back to Matthew 1, verse 1. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the Son of David, the Son of Abraham. In what way is he the Son of Abraham? Well, he is, because we read it in the genealogy. It begins, verse 2, with Abraham. What was the wonderful promise given to Abraham? Well, under the Abrahamic covenant, there were various promises given, but one of them was this, that in Abraham, and this was said to Abraham before he had any children at all, in Abraham, all of the families of the earth would be blessed. Genesis 22, 18, Abraham, in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Not only all of the families of the earth, but all of the nations of the earth are going to be blessed in Abraham. But how is it possible that all of the nations of the world are going to be blessed through Abraham's descendants? How is that possible? Answer, Jesus the Christ comes not only in fulfillment of the Davidic promises, he comes in fulfillment of the Abrahamic promises, which were given to Abraham, because Jesus is the Son of Abraham. And when our Lord Jesus Christ comes, this salvation comes not just to his own people, not just to the nation of Israel, although the gospel goes first to the Jew, first to Israel, the gospel also comes to the Gentiles. It comes to the whole world. In fact, at the end of the gospel, Matthew is going to emphasize that with the words of Jesus. And when Jesus commands his disciples to go and make disciples, when he commands them to preach the gospel, remember he says, you make disciples of all of the nations. How is that possible? Because Jesus Christ is the Son of Abraham. And because Jesus is the Savior of the world, in our Lord Jesus Christ, all of the nations of the world are blessed.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and the beginning of a new message titled The Tree. John will be right back with his closing remarks in just a moment, so stay with us. From matters of good and bad to right and wrong to identity and relationships, our world seems more confused than ever. But to find truth and certainty about who we are and where we're going, we must turn our attention away from the world and look to the Word of God. To help us do that, John just wrote a new booklet titled Eternal Security: Finding Certainty in a Chaotic World. He shares a bit of his personal testimony along with a careful examination of Scripture to help you answer the real and important questions you may have about your salvation. This new booklet is completely free by mail or download. Just visit our website at calvarychurch.com/theverdict. And before we close, we encourage you to take your own step in reaching others with the gospel this Christmas by supporting our ministry. You can join in our effort to share God's word with a financial gift of any amount. And you can make that donation today by visiting calvarychurch.com/theverdict. We also want to invite you to get connected with our online community on social media. We're excited to announce that The Verdict is now on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And be sure to stay connected by choosing like or follow. And now, here's Pastor John Monroe with closing remarks for today's message.
Well, what's your verdict? What did you learn about the genealogy of Jesus? I encourage you to reread it and study it carefully. It will help you to understand who Jesus is. He's the central figure of all human history and of eternity. He is the Christ, the Son of David, the Son of Abraham. And if Jesus is not just another historical figure, isn't it important that we keep Christ central to our Christmas? We will continue looking at the family tree of Jesus next time. You're in for a few surprises.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.